We've heard a lot about lead contamination in drinking water from old infrastructure and mismanagement on the part of water providers. And of course, lead paint. But there's another pathway for lead that's all around us. Well, under us. It's soil. Recently, on a chilly Saturday afternoon in March, I joined some people huddled under tents at a community garden center in Pittsburgh's Larimer neighborhood. They were taking advantage of a free lead test for soil. Shay Moore lives on the north side, and she brought two sandwich bags of dirt.
We have an area in the front where we grow a lot of herbs and some other tomatoes, and then we have our main garden is in the back.
Digging up and growing food in soil can expose gardeners of all ages to lead. The kids under six are most at risk. They're likely to put dirt near or in their mouths. Lead can cause irreversible damage to kids' developing nervous systems, even before they're born.
My wife is, 7 months pregnant now? So we're more concerned than we were for us.
Moore waits while Jonathan Burgess of the Allegheny County Conservation District performs the lead screenings. One at a time, he places the bags of soil in front of what looks like a gun from Star Trek. The XRF machine shoots an X-ray beam at the sample for about 30 seconds.
And then it's shooting another X-ray beam at a different intensity at it, and it's sort of measuring the energy that's coming off of all the different soil particles.
So in about a minute, he gets the result. Shay Moore is happy with the number from her backyard.
105 parts per million, which he said was a pretty healthy level, and we can, you know, plant stuff like leafy greens and all the stuff we want to plant.
Leafy greens like kale can actually take up lead from the soil through their roots, and it contaminates the leaves we eat, unlike, say, beans or tomatoes, where lead isn't passed on to their fruits. The EPA says a lead level under 150 parts per million is relatively safe. At 400 parts per million of lead or higher, Burgess recommends bringing in lead-free soil and gardening in raised beds. He's seen a wide range of results today.
Nothing that screams, you know, off the charts dangerous. It tends to be, you know, kind of middle levels, like between, say, 200 and 1,000. And across that range, you know, you could simply have wash your hands, wash your vegetables. And at the upper end, it's more keep your kids out of there.
Back at his office, Burgess tells me Pittsburgh is like a lot of industrial cities when it comes to lead.
It's just historical. You know, it's cars in the driveways and paint on the houses.
In 1978, lead-based paint was banned for homes, but old flakes and chips end up in soil. Until the 90s, gasoline had lead in it to help engines run smoother. So anywhere near where cars or trucks were driven or idled is polluted with lead. And we actually made lead here.
A lot of people would be surprised to know we used to have lead smelters all over the city in residential areas.
And all of that lead is still there. It accumulates in the soil and stays put in that same 6 or so inches of soil under the grass where most gardeners are digging. Burgess says testing soil from different sections of a yard, from multiple garden beds, or where there used to be an old shed, can help gardeners decide the best spots to plant food.
Just a few feet, you can go from, you know, very high levels to very low levels and back again.
Other ways to minimize risk? Feed the soil with compost and cover bare ground in gardens or anywhere else. Dan Brabander works on these issues as a professor at Wellesley College in Massachusetts.
You need to put down wood chips or other barriers so that the rows that are not planted do not present themselves as bare soil that can be readily resuspended.
Resuspended in the air. Dust is another way lead from soil makes it into our bodies and blood, and it's a big problem. Dr. Marilyn Howarth is an environmental toxicologist at the University of Pennsylvania. She's looked at elevated blood lead levels in kids in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
We have seen children where the lead paint has been remediated from the inside of their homes, and they still have had elevated lead levels, and the only contribution that we've been able to find has been the soil.
One study found that in cities all over the country, blood lead levels in kids vary by season.
The old idea was that was because kids play outside a lot more in the summer.
That's Gabriel Filippelli at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. His research shows that the problem isn't necessarily that kids are playing in the dirt. It's that dust. Filippelli found when soil dries out by late summer, dust gets kicked up. It can find its way into the house. We even track it in with dusty shoes. And it winds up on nearly every horizontal surface kids come in contact with. Filippelli thinks looking at the big picture, neighborhood-wide, could be even more effective for public health than going house by house.
I would argue that recognizing the soil-based exposure source and dealing with it is probably going to end up positively impacting more kids for less cost per kid.
Jonathan Burgess at Allegheny County Conservation District is working with community gardens, nonprofits, and researchers to get a better handle on where soil lead contamination exists in the Pittsburgh area, beyond just backyards and into larger spaces like blighted properties.
The question that we're trying to answer is what we can do with land that isn't slated for development, that is going to continue to be sitting there in communities and could be put to better use and could be remediated over time.
Remediation could be as simple as, say, planting sunflowers on vacant lots to soak up the lead. This effort to collect data through sampling is happening alongside work to revitalize parts of Pittsburgh that are struggling. Ruckwee Bay is a member of Black Urban Gardeners and Farmers Cooperative of Pittsburgh.
We can walk through here a little bit. So you see this flag? This is one area that goes up to that flag. So we take from three samples from this square.
Her group worked with Jonathan Burgess recently to collect soil samples from this and another empty lot in Homewood.
There are 27,000 blighted lots in Pittsburgh. And Homewood has more than any other neighborhood.
This is an area that could really benefit from an urban farm. Right now, there aren't any supermarkets to buy inexpensive fruits and vegetables. Bay plans to use this vacant lot to grow them.
This is a solution for us to take our community into our own hands. Yeah.
The soil lead tests came back favorable, so plans to break ground on covered hoop houses and raised beds for vegetables can move forward this summer. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Carol Holsapple.